Okay, this is our last, I guess, formal shiur until the Bechinas. Again, I wish everybody hatzlacha on that. And again, thank the three of you who are overseeing all of that. It's very much appreciated. We will try to get in maybe some an informal, because I'm not going to be able to finish everything up, obviously. It's not the first time that has happened, I have to admit. But, oh, I forgot to Manda. Okay. Oh, this has it. Okay. So, so we'll do what we can just to get some of these sodos in today. And we'll try to, you know, find a time which is good for everybody to list, add some ha'aros and then see if we can get a couple of more shiurim just in. But they won't be on the Bechina. Just we'll try to do that with sensitivity to people's schedules also. And I think we can assume that when we begin after the break, that we'll start with the Sugyan Dalet Amud Beis, the Runya topic, Makif and Nikaf. We'll do about two or three topics there, and then we'll probably jump to Chesek Sabbatim to try to pick up, you know, some of those really interesting issues. Okay, I also still have to meet with some people. I'm going to try to make time for that. I mean, I'll arrange it through Avrami, his good offices. So at least we can get through everybody who wants to meet before we break. You know, try to do that sometime next week. Try to get, you know, 2-3 hours or 4 hours at some point. Good. So those of you who we haven't had a chance, or I think most people we have, but not all, or people who want to follow up and, you know, if anything's on anybody's mind, to try to make time for that as well. Okay, good. So we were, these are very interesting topics, I think. And we're discussing basically, I guess you could say, several topics at the same time. We're in the middle of discussing the problem of Stiras Beis HaKnesses, by implication probably also Beis HaMedrash. If there would be a difference between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, you know, that would be an interesting issue. Actually, the Taz in Yoredeia, you know, brings this question up and says, of course, everything we say about Beis HaKnesses, when it talks about Pidyon Shvuyim mostly, but other posts can bring it up in the other issues, whatever we're saying about the Beis HaKnesses, Hu Adin, the Beis HaMedrash, and if anything, Kol Shekein, because the Kedusha Beis HaMedrash is actually more Chamor than Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. However, as we'll see, that maybe isn't so, maybe that isn't such a Dover Pashut. I mean, it's Pashut that Kedushas Beis HaMedrash is more Chamor than Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. what's not so clear is, you know, whether that hierarchy applies to all issues in Dinim, because obviously it depends on what, you know, what the Mechayiv of, you know, each particular issue is. Maybe there are other aspects of Beis HaKnesses that, you know, that don't apply equally to Beis HaMedrash. Mashal Ma'ad Over Domer, just, if I get a chance, I'll speak more about it, but I've spoken about it in the past, not in quite a few years, at least not publicly. But when this building opened, and I think the first shiur that I gave in this room, I actually spoke about this topic because I thought it was appropriate. Kedushas Beis HaMedrash. So, with regard to, for example, the issue that that Rashi and Tosas and the Rishonim in Megillah right speak about, which is the extent to which you're allowed to kind of live, you know, in the Mikdash, you know, Ma'at, to sleep there, to eat there, etc. So there's all sorts of interesting evidence, including, as I say, Rashi and Tosas here about, you know, Batei Knesios Shebebabel, you know, Bechurbanon, you know, Bibinyanam. We have a little taste of that. Again, I don't think we're going to be able to discuss it so much. We'll touch on it for a minute, but maybe when we, if we can get in a, you know, couple of small shiurim for Haaros, maybe we'll go further with it. But what's interesting is that there is some evidence and some shitos which actually seem to suggest that, you know, there's much more leeway and flexibility in sleeping and eating in the Beis Medrash than there is in the Beis HaKnesses. And, of course, that, you know, seems to be problematic, you know, given that the kedusha of Beis Medrash is more chamor in terms of like selling one and buying the other, you know, in terms of some other issues. So again, what that I think points to, at least from my point of view, is that, you know, there are again two different questions. One is the question of kedusha, and the second question is, you know, what animates, what, you know, triggers, you know, what is the mechayiv of the kedusha, respectively, of Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses. And it's very possible, and actually might be relevant to something we're going to discuss in a couple of minutes. You know, the Gemara here uses a really interesting expression. As we know, right, the Gemara says that you can't, seemingly says, we'll discuss some of the details in a minute, seemingly says that once the Beis HaKnesses is built, right, you can't sell it for pidyon shvuyim. But the language of the Gemara, of course, is very fascinating. And the Taz in particular, we'll get to it in a couple minutes, you know, really projects this as like a very central idea. Right? The Gemara says that the reason for that is, the reason for that is because it's like a home. Right, afilu banunami amle dirase deinshi lo mezabni. It's like this is a very interesting lashon in the middle of the Gemara. We're talking about, you know, Beis HaKnesses. What do you mean dirase deinshi lo mezabni? Again, Taz makes much of it. We'll get to it, but the idea, you know, that Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash might be different, you know, but in terms of like being actually, you know, like base, you know, de'inish, like a person's home, you know, he's supposed to live in the Beis HaKnesses or live in the Beis HaMedrash. So that, of course, is something that could lead to kulas if you're talking about eating and drinking and sleeping and, you know, maybe even other things. But it may flow from, like, a certain greater aspiration in terms of your identification and your immersion in it, you know, and so on. It's just like a different category. Anyways, so it might be Kol Shekein, even more Kol Shekein, not just because of the Chomer Kedusha, but because of the foundation behind the Chomer Kedusha. But at the same time, it also can work, you know, in the other direction. So, so that's something that, you know, we have to be, you know, thinking about as well. Either way, just to get back for a minute, because we don't have so much time, and we have to get through a bunch of things. So the first issue that we are dealing with in this sugya is the issue of, you know, the conditions, lo listar inish beknishta, adabani beknishta achriti. The reason I brought up what I brought up just now is, like, what about a Beis Medrash, right? Is it better? Is it equal? Is it worse? In general, do you see them as one kedusha, but one a little more than the other? Or as, you know, very different, in which case the napkaminas will be bigger, but they'll also potentially be in both directions, you know, just as I, you know, indicated a second ago, and then you'll have to evaluate them for things that come up based on what the true mechayev is. But anyways, that's the first issue that we are dealing with, and what constitutes pusa, what constitutes sluye. So this is something that we already began with. How does it fit into Maremar and Marzutri, right? There were Sasru Bani Bekitva, Bekaita Besitva, Banu Besitva, Bekaita. That's one issue. And this, of course, goes to the core of what we were discussing the other day, which is this about the presence, you know, of, is this all about, like, minimally, is this all about, like, you know, when you can sacrifice, you know, a place to have a minyan betzibur? That sounds like a very important, but a very clear, very defined, you know, issue. The next level being, you know, beyond that, like, what's the added value of having a Beis HaKnesses kavua, right, beyond simply, you know, mokom, you know, that enables you to do tefillah betzibur, something with kedushas Beis HaKnesses, that has the status and stature of some sort of a mikdash, you know, ma'at, and, you know, whose kviyus, you know, in its own right, gives it, you know, greater, you know, kedusha, and by association with the mikdash, you know, the real mikdash, obviously, that's reflected or causative, you know, in that respect. But maybe even going a step further, and that is, you know, maybe there are two other issues beyond being a better place for a minyan, even because of that status. And there's an issue, right? You know, how much better is it? You know, halacha lemaisa too. Sometimes people, you know, it's much more convenient to daven, you know, some place that isn't a Beis HaKnesses kavua, right? And you have all these, you know, minyanim that crop up in, you know, places. And, you know, how much of an effort should you make for that? And, you know, at what expense also? What expense do you, you know, let's say, are you mevatel Talmud Torah for minyan to begin with? Right, that's an issue in the sugya in Brachos and the Rishonim, you know, there. But, you know, assuming that we take a stronger stance on that issue, what about the gap, given that, between a Mokom Tzvila B'Tzibur as opposed to a Beis HaKnesses for different things? So that's in terms of the minyan itself. There's a big discussion about this, for example, also in, you know, when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah. It's not always identical, right? Because Kriyas HaMegillah, there's a din of Pirsum, Barov HaMahadras Melach, you know, in both directions. So when, you know, the Gemara has its whole discussion about, you know, you don't need a minyan for a Megillah, but, you know, you should really pursue one. Is that just about a minyan, or is that about, you know, Beis HaKnesses as opposed to a Mokom minyan, right? The Chidush Aran and Megillah, and some of the other Rishonim and a lot of the poskim later discuss that. So these are, you know, that's one kind of question. How much do you sacrifice for a minyan? How much do you sacrifice? Again, by the way, sacrifice for the minyan for the sake of Talmud Torah is one issue, or travel or things of that sort. But you have it in this sugya too, right? Let's say you need to build, you know, the you want to improve the Beis HaKnesses, or we want to improve the Mokom Tvila, and that requires that you go a period of time, you know, without one. Right? Again, in the Hemshech of the Gemara about, in the Hod, you know, a Hordus case, you have maybe even being Mevatel, the Korbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Things that we would think would be impossible to do. But according to many Rishonim, that's really what's going on. So that's one whole level. The second level, I say, is the gap between Tfila in a Beis HaKnesses and in a Mokom, you know, where you can have a minyan. And then the third level is the question of the role that a Beis HaKnesses plays, you know, beyond, you know, what you actually do in it. And that's kind of what I was trying to build up, the idea that it's an institution, you know, that impacts the community, and, you know, in its own right, that, you know, symbolically and substantively, you know, that how much value do you give, right, to that? And that's the issue that I was trying to connect to, you know, establishing, you know, a bezdin in a community, called pelech upelech b'chol ir v'ir, establishing a kupa shel tzedakah in a community. You know, something Rambam emphasizes very strongly in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. He doesn't just say that it's, you know, obligatory. He says, you know, lo me'olam lo matzinu. You know, that's not a statement of historical fact. It's like the Rambam saying, like, you know, lo yitachein, that there'll be a Jewish community that doesn't have such a structure. Now, again, you can always have individuals giving tzedakah without there being, you know, a community, you know, kupa or tampoy or whatever it is. So is this just, again, and the same thing with the dayanim? You know, it's just about, like, you know, ensuring it, facilitating it, you know, or is there something to, you know, tzedakah b'tzibur? Maybe we'll talk over Shabbos about this. Or you know, the presence or the institution, as I say, and the impact that it has, you know, just as a presence. The impact of, you know, there being institutions that are devoted and that are community institutions, you know, devoted to these values. I honestly, you know, strongly feel that is the implication and indication of a bunch of the Makoros. Again, you know, Yehuda in Goshen set up you know, a Beis Medrash, a yeshiva. So, again, only to ensure and to facilitate, or also kind of as a presence. The same thing may be true with a mikvah. So the Rambam, in Hilchos Tefila, Perakin Aleph, where he discusses some of these other issues, although it's not clear that, you know, these two are connected. But did I bring that? That I did bring, I think. But, you know, the Rambam does quote, based on the Tosefta in Bab Metzia, that is quoted by the Rif in Bab Masra, here in the first parak, this broad idea. This has nothing to do with davening in a shul being better than davening, you know, in a more informal minyan. This has to do with, again, a sense of the community. So the Rambam here, Komakom Sheisha Sarim Yisrael Tzarech Lahachin Bayis Sheikonsu Bo Letvila B'chol Eis Tvila U'Mokom Zewa Nikra Beis HaKnesses V'Kofin B'nei Yer Zeh Livnos Beis HaKnesses V'Liknos Lem Sefer Torah Nevi'im Muksumin. Right? And the fact that he, you know, the next halacha, of course, Kishabonim Beis HaKnesses Ein Bonin Osa L'Begova Shal Ir, right, Shenema Barosh Homios Tikra Magbino Sochia Gavom Nikol Chatzero Sa'ir L'Romein Beis Elokeinu Ein Poksin Piskei Beis HaKnesses El Mizrach Shenema Bachonim Lifnei Mishkan Kedma Bonin Bo Heichal Shemenichem Bo Sefer Torah Bonin Heichal Zu Beruach Shemespalim Kenegda. Okay, Ba'osa Ir Kadeshu Pneim El Mula Heichal Kishiyam. That's always a big question. We have that a lot, you know, in the other Beis Medrash, for sure. I think in this one, maybe too. U'mamidim bima b'beis haknesses k'deish yala le'a kori b'torah. Meaning all the, you know, things that the Rambam speaks about here are not just about, davening, you know, in a mokom kavua or in a mokom which has kedushas beis haknesses. They're also, like, where you dig the shul, where you build the shul, how high, you know, how tall, how much stature, basically, the shul has vis-a-vis, you know, other, you know, buildings. This is something which other religions, you know, figured out too. These are all statements about the place of the Beis HaKnesses, you know, in the community, right? And even some of the structural things inside, and the question of direction and the question of, where you position, you know, the teva. You know, and again, the towards the mikdash, etc. Even when you come in through the door, umamidim bima bebeis haknesses kdei sheyale akaru b'torah. A lot of these things are not relevant at all, you know, to a ad hoc minyan. It has nothing to do with the actual tefillah, and probably they have nothing to do with even facilitating the tefillah inside, you know, the beis haknesses or its kedusha. But they do have a lot to do with the statement that you make by the beauty, the positioning, the stature, you know, of the Beis HaKnesses in the community, right? Ketzad ha'am yoshu debatei knesios, az kenim yoshu pneim kilifnei ha'am, achareim klapei ha'echal, kolam yoshu shura lifnei shura, pnei kol shura. Again, I don't want to go into all of this. That's a topic in its own right. Very fascinating topic. Right, and then comes halacha, hey, bate knesios, bate midrashos, nogim bom kovod, mechabdinoso, merabdinoso, nogu ko yisro besparadu b'maruv, b'shinar b'eretz ha-tzvi l'hadlik ha-shoshios b'beis ha-knesses, right? Ein nogim im kalus ros, gon skok v'hitu v'sicha b'teila, ein ochlim, ein shosim, ein niosim b'hem, ein b'taylim b'hem, kapadarya, ein nechnasim lo b'chama, b'nei ha-chama, lo g'shamim, b'nei ha-gshamim, That's what I was referring to before, and I was suggesting makoros that indicate that actually that is much less of a problem in a Beis Medrash than a Beis HaKnesses, and for some that's for technical reasons, and for others I believe it's because, you know, it's more of like an informal home part than the Beis HaKnesses, but again that requires much more discussion. Ein mechash b'mahem cheshbonos, alim kain cheshbonos shal mitzvah, begon kupa shal tzedako, pidyon shvuyim. Interesting that he uses that expression, kiyotza b'hem. Ein maspida b'hem, ala hespet shal rabim. Meaning these are all dinim of kedushas beis haknesses, for sure. and so on and so forth. So you have to figure out which are the dinim that have to do with enhanced tefillah, which are the dinim that have to do with kedushas beis hakneses being a mikdash mahat, and which are the dinim that have to do with the kind of stature and impact that its very presence has, you know, in the community. Okay, so in halacha yabeis, finally, the Rambam gets to ein soser beis hakneses kedei livnos acher bimakomo. That already is a sugya in a little bit more in Megillah Chavav than our sugya. Our sugya doesn't talk about kedei livnos acher bimakomo necessarily, like literally bimakomo. Ours may be bimakom acher. O bimakom acher. Doesn't matter whether you're actually replacing the building itself or expanding it, or again, as I say, or you know whether you're substituting for it. Avabonim. Acher biachakach sosrin zet shema yar lahem ones v'leivnu pshia, right? Afilu kosal echam em bonach chadash b'tzad ayashan arkach sosar ayashan b'medram amshla chor b'yisadosa v'mchav yisadosa v'shanatu k'sala v'lipol sosrin osam yad matkin livnosa b'mehera b'yom b'layla shema tidachek shav yishayar charev. Okay, that's actually interesting, the reasoning, but okay. And then comes halacha yedaled mutalasas beis haknesses beis hamedrash al beis hamedrash enes nor beis haknesses shekedushas beis hamedrash yisera al beis haknesses umalim bakodesh. And then in halacha yedaled bnei ha'ir shemachru beis haknesses likach bedam of teva, and so on, that hierarchy, which we'll try to get back to very quickly in just a couple of minutes. B'chenim gavu min ha'am bos livnos beis hamedrash al beis haknesses al liknos teva al mitpachas v'tik al sefer torah v'ratzu l'shanos. Right, ein mishana l'mikdusha kala l'mikdusha chamura, and so on. You have some overlap to some of the other dinim, which we'll get to in a minute. Okay, so the question is, what is the relationship, basically, between, you know, these rules, which are anyways debated, as we know, and we've seen some of the debates already, and there are more, you know, when and how you can, you know, fix, replace, in some cases just, you know, knock down, you know, a beis hakneses. What does that have to do with halacha aleph? That's basically, you have like several themes in Perikin Aleph, Hilchos Tefillah. And the question is, are they connected, you know, or not? None of them seem to have anything to do with the question of it being a better place to daven, per se. Although there is, again, the evidence of that as well. So it could be, as I say, that this is all bound up with, I think this is one theme. These are not mutually exclusive themes either. They could both be true. Might be overlapping ideas. And that is all tied up with this notion of like a profile in the community. You don't have dayanim in the city, you know, the kadesh, because they have an influence. You want to have, you know, a mikvah, you want to have a kupa shel tzedakah, you know, in addition to making it easy for people, you know, kind of, you know, an omni, you know, conscious, you know, of this, and so on and so forth, and, you know, it doesn't take much, you know, to encourage their, you know, best intentions. Surely that is all part of this as well. No one is denying that. But in addition to that, there's an added element simply of, right, the presence and the impact of the institutions themselves, and the, you know, the, you know, how that penetrates into the, you know, the religious consciousness of and the value system of the, you know, the tzibur and the individuals of the tzibur. So that, I think, is one big issue. Closely connected to that also is maybe. Like, if you want to sell a beis hakneses, the Gemara says in Megillah, not chavav mebeis, excuse me, that, you know, that can only be done al yedei zayin tovei ha'ir. You know, that's like a very elite, you know, board, I guess, in the community, the zayin tovei ha'ir. So, you know, of course, they're the ones who have the community's interests in mind. But what it might, again, imply is that this is a kind of a tzibur, that it's not just for the mispalalim even, it's for the collective community. It's a community halacha. I don't mean to say it doesn't affect And remember, the most community halakhos also are connected to the impact on individuals. But it's not a direct individual thing, is what I'm trying to say. And therefore, who gets to make that decision? It isn't a coincidence. Some people think that when it comes to sleeping in the Beis HaKnesses, right, if there's a Tzorchei Rabim, so what is it, Tzorchei Mitzvah? One category. So then you could say, oh, just anything that isn't gratuitous, you know, and a zilzal, like, you know, you shouldn't be, it's not a homeless shelter, you know, so, or certainly not a convenience, you know, place to, you know, just sleep. So that would be a zilzal of the makom. And if you do it, but if there's some, you know, urgency or the shei mitzvah, whatever, so that, and we're going to get to back this in a minute, that's obviously part of the stira issue too in a minute. So that kind of neutralizes the isur or the prohibition, the problem with it. And is that the point? Or is it, you know, no, there really is, it's a violation of the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses or Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, all things being equal. And Tzorach Mitzvah maybe alone isn't enough either. But maybe you need, you know, Tzorchei HaRabim. Some people draw the line differently, like Tzorchei HaRabim or Tzorchei Talmud Torah. And I think you could make the case that, again, if this is a community mechayiv, you know, so again, it's not enough to neutralize, again, you know, it being, you know, gratuitous and therefore kind of chilul or zilzul kedushaso. You know, what you really need to do is to justify it, you know, by it kind of being an internal thing. Like, you're not allowed to, you know, violate the sanctity of this building, of this structure, because of, you know, the symbolic and substantive impact that it has as a profile in the community. You know, but, you know, things that are, you know, internally, you know, executed or implemented, you know, for that very reason, also to profile or to add to the quality of communal life, you know, that becomes an internal thing. So if it's, you know, mitzvahs harabim or mitzvahs hatzibur, and maybe that's true for Talmud Torah and Talmud Torah derabim as well. So the Ra'an and Megillah and Daf Chesam Aleph and the Daf Yarif suggests that, you know, that's a way to navigate some of the evidence. If you're sleeping there, letzorchei rabim, or letzorch. So again, in our Gemara, of course, one of the issues is like he moved his bed into the middle of the Beis HaKnesses. You know, pretty scary stuff, right? So like, how could he do that? So some Rishonim say, no, he didn't really, including Bali Tosas, you know, was nearby. He was trying to motivate them, but he didn't actually violate, you know, Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. And Rashi says what Rashi says, you know, which is that Batei Knesios Bebabel, you know, even Bibinyanam, there's a Tanai and there's more flexibility, and so on and so forth. But the Ran and other Rishonim say, no, either Litzorach Mitzvah, but the Ran says Litzorche HaRabim. This is, of course, not just Tzorchei Rabin, this is Tzorchei Beis HaKnesses Atzmo. It's trying to make sure, you know, that the Beis HaKnesses itself gets built rapidly, you know, so that there's no time lag, so that it's clear to everybody that this is a community, you know, priority. So, again, if it's a din in the Tzibor, and in the role that Batei Knesios play in the Tzibor, that's part of the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses, or it's a separate din, this din, you know, it's part of the mechayiv of having, you know, this kind of high-profile presence, so, you know, you might say, oh, Tzorchei Rabim is different, Tzorchei Beis HaKnesses certainly would be different, Tzorchei Rabim may be different, what about Tzorchei Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah the Rabim, but sometimes we also find that, you know, the facilitation of Talmud Torah, especially for Talmidei Chachamim, is also considered a kind of a tzibur halacha. And that's something to think about more generally. You know, tax paying, which is sugya here in Bava Basra, here in the first parak, you know, sometimes Talmidei Chachamim get a tax break. You know, not because, you know, we're discriminating, because the sense is that they, you know, that's good for the tzibur. That they play kind of a leadership role. And when it comes to Pidyon Shvuyim, which we're going to speak about in a couple of minutes, also there's some Rishonim, there's like stiras, and the Gemara says in the Mishnah says in Gittin, we'll discuss Pidyon Shvuyim more extensively in just a minute, but the Mishnah says in Gittin that if they're asking for more than they're trying to extort the community.
Bluetooth is connected.
Oh, okay, Josh. You still haven't read the manual. Okay. Is it really disconnect? Is it working?
Yeah,
it's good. Oh, okay. That's like a false threat. A scam. It's probably a scam. So when it comes to Pidyon Shvuyim, you're not supposed to, it's hostage taking. It's exactly what the Mishnah and the Gemara, speak about. That, Ein Podim Yoser Bechdei Dmeim, that's the Mishnah Nashalayach, because we're, that two reasons that the Gemara, gives and argue about, but, mostly Paskin, because we don't want to provide an incentive for people to take hostages, right? Something, sadly, in any time, but definitely in our time, we have experienced that whole, issue. You don't want to encourage hostage taking. On the other hand, each time it's a calamity, and the victims are in danger, and the community is being attacked. So it's very hard to navigate that, that balance. So typically, the psak is the Rambam paskins, Shulchan Aruch paskins, like that view, that lo legarve v'laisi tvei, because we're worried that the price is just going to get steeper and steeper, and extortion is going to be more and more common. So, but there are some exceptions. So it's a very fascinating question. What about himself? Let's say can you give more, from your own money? Right? Can you finance or fund your own rescue? Or is that a problem? Because it undermines the tzibur and encourages extortion, etc. Might be kind of an issue of, well, then it's not a tzibur problem. So it's not, you just look at the whole issue differently. It's not that you personally take priority over your neighbor, it's just that if you're paying, so we just don't see this as a Mamanat Tzibur, question, formally. Anyways, what about you? What about your wife? Does Ishto Kegufo apply here? That's the view of some Bali Tos. What about your children? Right? Do they come under this rubric? It's a very fascinating where you draw the line. But there is some views in Bali Tosis. I think Tosis in Gittin Nun Ches, as opposed to Tosis in Gittin Nen Hey, seem to argue this point. What about a young Ilui, who has potential to, contribute, in a significant way to the community? Or Talmud Chacham, for that matter, in general. So again, it's like the tax thing. It's not that he has more Kedushas Yisrael. It's not true. There's no din in the Arig Vayavar that, you're going to be Mechalek. My Chazi the Dama Didach Sumak Tvei, applies to, Ishto Kegufo, and applies to Banim, and applies to yourself, and it applies to Talmidei Chachamim. Right? But, but again, maybe the idea is that sometimes this is a community consideration which kind of, impedes sometimes individual decisions, or at least, is calculated on the calculus of the community, and sometimes a muflag, in terms of, his leadership potential, so that's an outsize factor, from a communal point of view. So why am I telling you that? So here also, this idea of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, being amenable or malleable or flexible, right, when it comes to Tzorchei Harabim. What about Tzorchei Beis HaKnesses? What about Tzorchei Talmidei Chachamim or Talmud Torah Derabim, etc.? We do find, whether it's in Meches or in Pidyon Shvuyim or in other things, that sometimes this isn't a factor just in the value of Talmud Torah or the particular mitzvah involved, but it's what determines, this is a tzibur issue. Ah, okay. So anyways, Second. Yeah. Okay. So that's one perspective. The other possibility is that what's going on here isn't about, let's say, promoting or degrading the profile or the presence, the greater profile or presence of, you know, the institution of Beis HaKnesses in the community. And even then, of course, you would have to wonder, you know, like, how many do you need? Is it the more the merrier? And like, at what point, you know, at what point does that, you know, you know, there's also, you know, a very interesting question about being marbe bate knesios, you know, sometimes at the expense of unity in a community. Right? That's also an issue. You know, my father, you know, in the Kaparis Mishkavo, used to call the this part of the what he called Shtibalitis syndrome. You know, that, you know, in certain communities, like wherever you go, you know, every block has a different shtibel or a different Beis HaKnesses. So, of course, again, increasing the profile of the presence of Bate Knesios in a community, all things being equal, is a good thing. But to the extent that it either reflects or causes machlokes, or detracts from, you know, the unity of the community and the ability of the community to come together, you know, in important ways, because it accentuates, you know, kind of very small differences or sufficiently small differences that they are, you know, eclipsed, let's call it, by, you know, the greater need, you know, in some cases for unity. And in that respect, you know, we could call it smaller communities or out-of-town, you know, communities, in that respect have, you know, an advantage, you know, as opposed to big, big Jewish communities where the population is so large and, you know, everybody's flavor, you know, is available. So there's obviously a huge benefit in that if you're, you know, if these nuanced differences, you know, contribute to a better quality of halachic life, whether it's a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, yeshivos, etc. At the same time, you know, you have to balance that with the concern for financial support and stability, for sure, like how many institutions are viable in a community and at what cost, but also the cost of unity and the accentuation in some cases of, you know, smaller differences, you know, and blowing them up, like, are they so important that you need, like, a totally different structure, you know, even if that, you know, impedes community unity or imposes financial hardship, or just accentuates, you know, differences and blows them up more. It's a very hard call. It's like, it's an old issue, and it's very much a current issue. It's always going to be an issue. But again, in you know, the idea of, you know, proliferation of institutions, you know, in big, big Jewish communities, you know, whether it was, you know, in Bavel or in Europe or in Eretz Yisrael or in America, especially the tri-state area, as opposed to, like, the needs of smaller communities, which sometimes are more cohesive. They really are. And there's greater, you know, unity there. Although, you know, again, there's less choice, and sometimes you are, you know, pushed to make, you know, more difficult, you know, decisions. So it's a very interesting trade-off, but to some extent, this is part of the sugya that we're talking about here, which is, you know, depending on which girsa and which shita, this question of, you know, the value of, a Beis HaKnesses over a Mokom Tvila, Stam Mokom Tvila, and multiple Bate Knesios, especially once they exist, over a smaller amount. Okay, so that's one issue. The other perspective, I think, and again, I don't think they're mutually exclusive, is the question of there being kind of an Iser Spiras Beis HaKnesses, based on the principle of Losasun. I think we mentioned this the other day. And, you know, that definitely has to do with Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, no question. But it's an interesting, you know, issue. So lo sasun kein l'Hashem Elokechem, you know, as opposed to the chiyuv netitza of of avodah zara, etc., is, you know, primarily focused. Again, we have to do this very quickly. Is primarily focused on two things in the halakha, and the question is about expanding it beyond that. The two things being mechikas Hashem, and that's what the Rambam speaks about, you know, very extensively in Hilchos Paragvav Hilchos Yisod HaTorah. Most of the parak is really about mechikas Hashem, but equally the problem of, you know, avanim, or, you know, pieces, material from the Mikdash. So that, of course, the Rambam speaks about in Perek Aleph, you know, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, right, Halacha Yudzayin. Oh. So the question is, what is the nature of that Halacha? And does it expand, you know, beyond? So in terms of the nature of the Halacha, I think it's a very interesting question, as I say. Is it more... The Rambam includes, you know, the factor of Derech Hashkasa. Just look at the Rambam, two Rambams just for a minute. Let's make sure I brought the right one. Oh, not completely. Do we have... Oh, okay. Perek Vav of the Sesodia Torah, at least I have here. One second. So, Perek Vav Halacha Hilchos Yisod HaTorah is Kol Ma'abed Shem El Hashem Asakdoshim VaTahorim Shenikra Bema Kadosh Baruch Hu Lokem VaTorah Sharehu Omer Bavaras Kachavim Bibaltem Es Shemam Min Amakom Ahu Lo Sasun Kein LaShem Elokeichem. And then when we learned Shavuos some years back, we discussed a lot of these details. Shiva Shem Oseim, you know, Shem Oseinim Nimchakim Shem Oseim Beforash. In the Koteret to Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, I think it's number 8. Of course, Yisod HaTorah is the beginning, right? It's very significant that it's right in the beginning. Shalola Abed Dvarim Shenikra Shemo Aleya. That's what the Rambam quotes in the Koteret Tilchos Yisod HaTorah. Most of the parak deals with Shemos, and then the Rambam in Halacha Zayin transitions Hasosar Filo Even Achas Derech Hashkasa Min HaMizbeach O Min HaHechal O Mishar HaAzara Loke, Shenemar, Losasim Kain Lashem Lokechem. Babaris Kacham Kies Biz Bechosam Titotzun, Uksiv Losasim Kain Lashem Lokechem. Key, Bechena Soref Atzea Kodesh, Derech Hashchasa, Loke, Shenemar, Vashe Rehem Tisrafun Ba'esh, Uksiv Losasim Kain Lashem Lokechem. So here he mentions Soref Atzei Hekdesh Derech Hashchasa. Soser here also mentions Derech Hashchasa. If you look at Hilchos Beis HaBechira, anybody have that? Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin, I think. Stephen, you got it?
Yeah.
If you can read it.
It says Enus and Madregos and Mizbeach Shnemar Lo Taleb Malos Al Mizbechi Ela Bonin Kmo Tel Bidromo Shal Mizbeach Mismai Viori Meirush Mizbeach Ad Haaretz Vuhu Nikra Kevesh Ve'aolev Malos Al Mizbeach Lokem.
Yeah, so first of all, it's just very interesting that the context is really a binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's what it's doing in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. And the first half of this halacha is about what you're supposed to build, right? What the structure is supposed to look like. Fascinating that in that very same halacha, he then transitions, go ahead. Yeah. So first of all, it's in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, it's limited to what? The Heichal, and Beina Ulam V'la Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach. Correct?
Yeah.
Whereas, in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, again, this is just a puzzle, it's not to figure out for now, but in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, he explicitly expands it to the Azara. Right? Some of the Nosa Kalim, Alatar, I'm trying to remember, is it the Radvaz Alatar? Somebody says, look in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, Medikas HaMishnah, says, look at Hilchos Sotah Torah. There he expands it to the, even to the Azara. Okay, it's curious that in Sotah Torah it's more expansive, but I think that also has to do with the fact that the context here in Hilchos Beis HaBechira is about the Binyan. Almost like he sees the Binyan, and the Netitza, Derech Hashchasa, as like two sides of the same coin, two opposites. And therefore, since he's focusing, not on the Azara, or maybe it's more accentuated here, it's even worse here. Okay? So I think that has something to do with it. So this idea, but now the Rambam's use of Derech Hashchasa is not so obvious, I mentioned. Where does he get that from? There's a lot of discussion in the Nosei Kelim. He doesn't mention Derech Hashchasa when he talks about Mechikas Hashem. It could be that Mechikas Hashem is always Derech Hashchasa, by definition. Right? So, how far, do we go with this? How far do we take this? So, as we mentioned the other day, in Sefer Mitzvos, Lav Samech Hei, you have that, Stephen? Just the language? In Sefer Mitzvos first, and then in the Minyan HaKatzar. Again, even on the Koteret, the Rambam says nothing. And in the whole Yad HaChazaka, he says nothing about Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash, right? But in Sefer Mitzvos, he alludes to it. Go ahead. Yeah. So the question is, when he talks about plural, Bate Ha'alokim, right? What does that mean? Right? In theory, it could mean, whatever iteration, there is or was of that. Meaning the Mishkan, the different types of Mishkan, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, right? Benheira B'Yameinu, the Bayis Shlishi, that they should know this goes on all of them. Or is what he's also including, all without, making it explicit, the Mikdash Ma'at of, Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, right? So that is even more explicit. That certainly is explicit in the Minyan HaKatzar, which reads, Stephen? Right. So again, the Derech Hashchasa is it's fascinating. It doesn't always appear in the formulations, and it doesn't appear in Ibud Hashem. And the question is what to do with it and where it comes from. So I think I mentioned some achronim actually suggest that the category of Derech Hashchasa comes from our sugya. That's because they assume, we'll see in a moment, some of the poskim assume this very explicitly, the Magen Avraham, the Taz, some of the Mefarshim in Orach Chaim, assume that the issue in our sugya of stira, meaning the qualifications of when you are allowed to, not allowed to, knock down a shul or rebuild or replace, is midin, this halacha of mikdash ma'at. But you are allowed to do it, in certain circumstances. It's not an iser gomor across the board. The factor of ra'a ba tiyuha, and even that we know is wide-ranging, right? But that's not the only justification. That's just a justification for anything and everything, right? But, everybody agrees that once you, build the replacement, even if it's Mishum Psiusa, that you're allowed to knock things down. Like, why are you allowed to do that? So some Farshim suggest that the Ar Sugya is Midin, this halacha, and it may even be the Makar. That would be sensational if it's the Makar. Because it's not explicit that it's even bidin this, but that would be the makar. It has to be derech hashchasa, as opposed to you built a riyat. This is obviously derech chiluf or derech tikkun, or this is stira. This isn't really stira. This is tchilas like binyan. Now, this is a big issue in Hilchos Shabbos, in general. But of course, course you should be, you could easily be mechalek. Like, you know, we say that soser almanas livnos is a malacha, right? So, you know, there are two schools of thought, like the Bali Tosis, where we ask the question, and others as well, like how come some of the malachos in the Mishnah and Shabbos, you know, that look like kilkol and things like that, like how come some of them spell out, you know, almanas latake, you know, and others don't? Just like the there's another question in Farshim discussed, that is, how come you have shiurim in some of the malachos and you don't in others? Okay, good questions, both. Right, Minchas Chinuch discusses them. A lot of people discuss these questions. Interesting thing to note from a literary point of view, just the way the Mishnah presents the malachos, and, you know, what conclusion should you draw from it? So, of course, if you want to take a more, you know, fundamental approach to these questions, you might want to say that, you know, sometimes the issue is just kilkel and tikkun, and sometimes, or the shiur, and sometimes the tikkun or the shiur becomes part of the shame, like malacha. Like when the Mishnah, you know, defines a shiur, it's saying it's not just, you know, how much you need to do. It's basically saying that less than that is not the malacha, kosech deosios, things like that. Okay, so again, don't get me started on the, you know, bate nirin, you know, my favorite thing. But so similarly, if moche kalmanas lichtov, you know, sosar almanas, you know, livnos. Meaning, what is, you know, the iser malacha of stira? Is it really stira as long as it's not a kilkol, or is it tchilas binyan? Oh. Anyways, not just highlighting that. I'm just mentioning that to kind of highlight this idea that some of the mafarshim do say this in Aruch Chaim, or the Kuf Nun, whatever it is. We'll get to that in a minute. That, you know, if it's, you know, clearly built in, like that the soser is amanas livnos or tchilas binyan, you know, then that isn't called soser. That's not ibud. That's called binyan, or, you know, tikkun, or, you know, something of that sort. Ah, so is that the point? That any stiras also, but some stiras, that the things that are permitted, the factors that allow for permission, it's because, you know, they're no longer stira at all, right? Or maybe the idea is that stira is only aser b'derech hashkasa. That's the losasun chen, right? And the problem is, in terms of our sugya, let's say according to the mandamar mishum pshiyusa, so, you know, unless you are pretty much have a guaranteed ironclad, you know, path, you know, that ensures the future. You know, so, you know, it's stira, and then it's binyan, or it's derech hashchasa, and then there's, you know, later something else. So that's where these factors, you know, come into play. But where it's permitted, you know, maybe it's still stira, but it's not stira shel hashchasa. Yeah?
I'm just wondering, once you build the next Beis HaKnesses, the one that you have left, it's ironically more stira, because you're not destroying it anymore to build a new one.
Well, that's a great point, and you could have said that, but I think that the answer is, you know, that you know that the reason you're not having, you know, there's probably a reason you're not being, you know, creating three, you know, when you're keeping two. Now, whether it has to do with some of the things I mentioned before, that sometimes, you know, too much is divisive, you know, or accentuates things in a wrong way. Or, you know, whether it's because of the financial, you couldn't have done this if you weren't going to do that. Or it has to do with the, you know, the zoning and, you know, the where you're going to put it. Or, but it is a really good point. Just as I think it's a good point to note that in sugyas in Megillah and Chavches, the parallel to this sugya, which again because of our time pressure, I'm not really going to have time to discuss in much more detail. Like there, the discussion is more explicit, and in the Rambam as well. Like, you know, what about using, you know, avanim for of this, you know, doomed Beis HaKnesses, you know, for the next one, right? Is that different than simply replacing it, you know, with something else? Better or worse? Probably better, but is it equal? Right? So I think your point is really a good point. You're saying, well, right now, just you leave them both. But for whatever reason, you know, if you can't leave them both, or leaving them both is destructive, or counterproductive at least, so then we no longer, you know, at least perceive it, because we've eliminated, let's say, you know, the time lag, or the suffix. That's what I'm calling it. It's kind of like a mitzaref, and the mitzaref, I keep thinking it's a fast day, but it's not a fast day today, right? Zach's drinking, so it's probably not a fast day.
The real question is if you can drink outside of the sukkah.
I know, that's really big. Haunts me a lot as well. I hear that. Yeah. Or, you know, at least it'll be a kiyum not to, right? Maybe. Yeah. Okay. So, and what if, like, you have to replace the sukkah? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so everybody's with me, I hope, on this. So that's why I think, you know, the idea that maybe our sukkah is the makar for, like, Derech Hashchasa puts, you know, assigns great prominence to our sukkah in addition to, like, connecting it actually to this. You know, and for the Rambam, you could do that based on the Minyan HaKatzar and maybe the hint in Sefer Mitzvos. But I think that it's also perfectly clear, and I'm a big methodological believer in this idea, and in the Rambam, and that is that I think that the Rambam diffuses, you know, his treatment of certain topics, you know, in a way that kind of conveys in a nuanced, you know, manner, you know, what he thinks is a hierarchy, right? By which I'm trying to explain, like, why, if he really thinks, you know, that this applies also to Mikdash Ma'at, you know, so why doesn't he, you know, say that, like, explicitly in Hilkos Beis HaBechira and Hilkos Yisod HaTorah, where he, you know, deals with it in the actual halachos? Or why, you know, in the end of the day, you know, does he choose to omit Azara, you know, from Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and mention it only in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, which happens to be earlier in the Rambam anyway, you know. So, and, you know, as we've discussed many times, you know, where he puts things and what he emphasizes, it doesn't have to be a stira. It could be the Rambam's way of, underscoring, you know, the different levels of things. You know, just like he thinks that the three Darkei Kedushin are different in a hierarchical way. They all work Doraisa, but, you know, they work in different ways. And just like his view of, maybe I'll speak about this a little bit over Shabbos, but I said I may speak about tzedakah, but like his view of tzedakah, you know, to Gerei Toshav, or his view of Mishum Darkei Shalom, there seems to be a stira in the way that Rambam formulates in two places. Instead of seeing things always as a stira, it could just be, you know, that again, there's a kind of intentional diffusion, you know, of where he mentions things and how he mentions things. And I think that is the case here as well. Okay. So this then becomes an interesting, not only an explanation of Pius and so on, but it'll also help us then, navigate, some of the factors where there's certainly dispute. Like the big question, is there Piusa if there's already a Beis HaKnesses? You know, or, you know, how do you explain Tiyua? Okay, so if Tiyua is Sakonas Nefashos, or even Sakonas, you know, Churban of the Binyan, you know, it's not so hard to explain that, obviously. But let's say it just means, you know, like Tosis has an expanded view of it. The answer number one in Tosis and answer number four in Tosis. Were there four? I think so, right? You know, it just expands what Tiyua is. Is that acceptable to expand that? The more you see it as a separate, you know, matir of Sakana or whatever, you know, no. But the more, if all you need is that this shouldn't be gratuitous, or that the binyan part should be connected, you know, to the korban part, to the stira part, you know, so instead of saying, oh, now there's a stira, yeah, sof, there'll be a binyan. But lemaisa, how do you justify, you know, the interim stira, right? But if it's all about, oh, no, we're mitzarif these things, we put them together, we see this as part of a process, this is a stira l'shem binyan, or this is a stira, you know, she'ena derech hashkasa, not only in the motivation, but the motivation isn't good enough here because things could go wrong. And as I said before, the things could go wrong and therefore we don't, you know, we're worried about that actually, you know, and then at what point do you reach, you know, in the dover so? But things could go wrong, you know, and we're going to extend that, you know, very, very far because it's really a question of legally, you know, whether two different things are happening here or drawing a circle around the whole thing and seeing it together. In which case, you know, even if it's, you know, a chashash that is more rachok, again, I think at some point you'll still say in the dover sof, but, you know, if it's a question of, you know, safek in a mishmeres or breaking, you know, the connection between the binyan part, the tikkun part, and the kilkul and the stira, you know, derech hashkasa part, so you can understand a lot more. There could still be arguments about what that is in tua, or what that is when you have another beis hakneses already, you know. So obviously it isn't, you know. Then we could look at this as tikkun, you know, and so on. So I think that is very very helpful. So just to add a little bit of more information without really spending much more time because I want to get to the next thing. So I think there's one more issue to discuss before I get to that. Okay, no, actually I'll get to it. So this is the Magen Avraham in Simen Kuf Nun Beis Sif Katan Vav and the Taz Simen Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Katan Gimel. I think, you know, really, really do accentuate this. And this idea that, you know, some of these factors. You have that open? Good. Yeah.
The
either one, whatever you prefer. It's really based also on the Mordecai in Megillah. Right. Go ahead.
So the Magen Avraham says, the Aser Listor, so the Havi Kinoti is Evan Ben Ahecha.
Yeah.
Hadassilin, the Staff Kedavra Machubar.
Yeah. Which is also interesting, whether it's only Dover Machubar. Let's say that things that are not Machubar in the, but that are a prominent part of the Shul, right? Okay. Go ahead.
And the Taz. Okay, so it says, Rishdad, the Lord knows, so if he's there,
Binyan mikra. You mean easily saying, right. Like I was saying about the way that some people look at, you know, on the Yisr side, in Longchamp, right? Okay, so you have to look at those, and this is based on the Mordechai, who really makes clear that he thinks that this is a. So again, I think this also raises a very interesting question about the relationship between Mikdash Ma'at, you know, and the Beis HaMikdash. First of all, you could have thought that, you know, the whole idea of Mikdash Ma'at is just kind of a melitza or a separate halacha. The Mordechai is taking it very seriously. Possibly the Rambam is taking it very seriously. That's an interesting issue. In our sugya, we do have this link to the Mikdash, as I already mentioned, the Horda story. And, you know, the bitul, even maybe of Karbanos, as understood by some Rishonim, which is quite remarkable. And you don't even get the sense that, you know, it's worse. It sounds like it's the same. So, of course, this isn't really, even if you accept the idea of Mikdash Ma'at, right, the question is, you know, on a much less intensive level or not, and, you know, or, you know, in which direction is this halacha really? Now, this is like a mikdash halacha, you know, but it also applies to mikdash ma'at, which I think is what the Rambam will tell you, based on what I said before about the diffusion. In theory, you could say the opposite too. You could say this is a din, you know, in makom tfila, you know, or makom, you know, limud. And, you know, of course, it applies therefore also in kibesi beis tfila yikare l'chal amim, you know. Like, in which direction does this go? Is this a Beis HaKnesses halacha So of course it applies to the Beis HaKnesses, or it's really a Beis HaMikdash halacha. I think that's a really important issue. And the idea that, you know, of course it could manifest itself differently because the Kedusha is greater, the, you know, sensitivity to Zilzul. It is in other things too, like Kapandaria and other things, right? Even where you have the same halachos in Mikdash Ma'at and in the Mikdash, there still sometimes are differences. Some of the differences are because not everything's a din in Mikdash Ma'at or Mikdash has, you know, very specific dinim separate from that. But also just in terms of the, you know, the, you know, the Mikdash is, you know, is singular, you know, even more so than the Mishkan. That's why there's Isur Bamos and all that, and an Isur Mishkan once you have the Mikdash. So, you know, by virtue of that, and of course, you know, what takes place there, both in terms of Karbonos and, you know, its impact on Aliyah L'Regel and even on Lishkas HaGazis, but even, you know, by extension in terms of Tefillah. So it's, you know, it's not just, oh, they overlap, obviously. So this is a very important question about, you know, where this halacha is located in the Mikdash and, you know, in the Mikdash Ma'at. Okay, something to be very careful about and to think about. Okay. So that is that. Then the Mordechai, of course, is in Megillah on Chav Kas, I think I mentioned, Tav Chav Vav. Yeah. So, for example, when it comes to the, is there a mitzvah binyan Beis HaKnesses based on, you know, v'asoli mikdash v'shachanti v'sochav, is a mitzvah binyan a mikdash? I mentioned that, you know, the relationship between the mikdash and the mishkan, you know, is an interesting issue when it comes to that. That the Rambam expanded, you know, the kesher between the mishkan and the mikdash. But what about binyan Beis HaKnesses in general? Right? Is it such a mitzvah? And is it part of the mitzvah? Or no, that's connected to the korban part, or to the fact that it is, you know, singular, you know, and unique, or the kapara that can take place there, or the makom hashchina, you know, the kind of traveling Har Sinai thing that I mentioned the other day. I mean, there are aspects of mikdash which may not apply to mikdash ma'at, or if they do apply to mikdash ma'at, they certainly don't apply qualitatively, right, in the same way. So what about that mitzvah? Or, for example, what is the status of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, you know, in general? Again, a massive topic, not for now. It's a Megillah topic. So the Ramban in Megillah, you know, famously has this discussion, you know, sees sees that, you know, but, you know, Kedushas Beis HaKnesses mostly is Tashmishe mitzvah. And other Rishonim see it as Tashmishe Kedusha. The Ran seems to argue on a Drabbanan level that it's treated like Kedusha Saguf. Again, how much of the paradigm of the Mikdash, you know, is translated Doraisa and Drabbanan into Dine Kedusha Beis HaKnesses? That's a really, really important issue. Another interesting issue, sorry we're just running, but you know, you're not allowed to be, you know, losita lecha, you know, ashera kol eitz, you know, in terms of the makom hamikdash, right? Is there such halacha with regard to Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash? So the Ramban in Devarim, Tezayin, what did I write here? Chaf Aleph, that's what the pasuk is, seems to say that this applies to Beis HaKnesses too. That's a big discussion in the poskim. Again, it's a mikdash ma'at thing. You know, does the ma'at part, you know, attenuate it? Or maybe it's not a din in mikdash ma'at at all. Maybe it's a din in makom ha-karbanos, or, you know, the singularness of that, you know, kiyam el ha-makom, v'makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha l'shaken shemo sham, you know, the, you know, the shichno sidrashu v'asa shama part. Right? We have to figure that out. So, again, Derech Hashkasa, if it happens to come from here, that makes it a particularly, you know, that's a particularly fascinating issue. Okay, so that is in terms of some of the questions, but of course there's so much more to talk about just in terms of some of the details, the particulars, you know, when and how you can rebuild or knock down or fix, you know, a Beis HaKnesses. Now let's turn our attention, because we don't have so much time left, to the other part of the sugya, and that's the Pidyon Shvuyim part. Oh, okay. So, with regard to the Pidyon Shvuyim part, yeah, that of course, you know, is very prominent in our sugya because, again, the Girsa that we have, and the many Rishonim have, basically establishes that Pidyon Shvuyim, or seems to be in the Gemara, and say we'll talk about three perspectives just for a moment that we already identified, but certainly you could read the Gemara as thinking that Pidyon Shvuyim is a unique, you know, urgent mitzvah, right, that allows you to, you know, take money that was designated, or, you know, the fundraising was for, you know, for Binyan Beis HaKnesses, which obviously is considered to be a very, very lofty and important goal based on everything that we're talking about. And you can, direct that money, you know, if necessary, to Pidyon Shvuyim. If you can't do that in other mitzvos, then obviously Pidyon Shvuyim emerges, you know, with great stature. According to the Rambam's Girsa, right, it seems like you can do that for any mitzvah. So that part of it, let's say, is not unique, you know, to Pidyon Shvuyim. Okay, but even according to the Rambam, right, it seems like, you know, the next chiddush, which is that you can even take the materials, you know, that have been acquired and that are omed, you know, for the project, that you can even, you know, sell them, you know, to raise the money for Pidyon Shvuyim. That certainly seems to be limited to Pidyon Shvuyim and doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. We already mentioned that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, right, it seems like, you know, that's more of a technical lemaisa different, de facto. People don't do that. But if they wanted to do it, sounds like they could do that too. It sounds like Rabbeinu Yonah, at least in these contexts, and I don't think this is the case of the Rambam. Let's put it this way. You could have thought that the Rambam is already trying to be mema'et, you know, the, you know, singular, distinctive significance of Pidyon Shvuyim vis-a-vis other mitzvahs. Because after all, whether it's his girsa or his halacha, he's saying, you know, you could take the money, you know, for other mitzvahs, which doesn't seem to be the case in the girsa that we have in our Gemara. However, what I'm going to try to show in a minute is that even though the Rambam, in that particular application, right, equates Pidyon Shvuyim and mitzvos, it's not at all indicative of kind of minimizing or downgrading, right, the qualitative gap between Pidyon Shvuyim and everything else. If anything, I think the Rambam, you know, maybe more clearly than anybody else, at least in formulation, we'll see this in a minute, you know, thinks that Pidyon Shvuyim is singular. Okay. He just happens to think that, you know, for the sake of truth, and, you know, that other mitzvos also have the ability to divert the funds. You know, that's because diversion of the funds, A, and B, you know, the cause, let's say, of fulfilling, you know, some other urgent mitzvah, you know, are both more flexible. You know, the second is more urgent and the first is more flexible. So just that will say that for the Rambam, the distinction, which I think he accentuates, Dafka, as we'll see in a moment, you know, just doesn't express itself, you know, when it comes to the funds. Okay. Whereas, for Rabbeinu Yonah, I think, you know, the impression that you get, oh, there's no denying, you know, that Pidyon Shvuyim, we'll see in a moment, is a mitzvah rabba. But the question is, like, you know, how far do you want to take that? Like, how, you know, so it's quantitative or it's qualitative? For Rabbeinu Yonah, I think the impression that you get is, you know, that he's just very skeptical about the qualitative gap here. He sees Pidyon Shvuyim, it's an important mitzvah, an important aspect of tzedakah. And for sure it's, you know, more, but that doesn't mean it's fundamentally different. And therefore, it sounds like he's down, when he says, you know, when the Gemara says, you know, you only sell the materials for pidyon shvuyim, they're talking about, you know, what people do. Pinoeg shebaola. But not that it's usur to do that. There's no legal difference. It's just, you know, you might ask yourself the question, you know, if it's not a legal difference, so how does it play any role in our Gemara? Right? I think the answer to that question is, going back to what we were talking about just a minute ago, which is, if we're talking about a kind of a matir, then in Ochanami. But if we're talking about like being mitzaref, you know, and kind of determining whether this is derech hashkasa, or this is a, you know, stira as opposed to a tchilas abinyan, you know, so what people do also matters, frankly. We'll get this in a second as well. Either way, the hava mina, getting on the third level now. First is the money. Then there's the materials, right? Even the materials, you know, at an advanced stage. Like, you polish them and you cut them to the right size and, you know, they're ready to go, etc. Okay. Then, of course, comes the third issue, and that is, are you actually going to sell the Beis HaKnesses? Right? So it sounds like there's a hava mina that you're going to do that for pidyon shvuyim. And it sounds like the maskana, you don't. So there are, just in terms of, again, the range, there's several things to say here. Right? How significant is this hava mina that you would? And how solid is this maskana that you won't? Right? So, you know, in Rabbeinu Yonah and Ramaz, we already indicated, it sounds, you know, two things seem to be. Number one, that you won't sell the Beis HaKnesses. There's also only Mishum Hanoeg Sheba Olam. Wow. So you get very excited and say, wow, look at Pidyon Shvuyim. Except that if you read Rabbeinu Yonah, right, you know, that's true not only for Pidyon Shvuyim, but it's true for other mitzvahs as well. You know, even more so. But it's, in terms of, again, the fundamentally, could you? You could even do it for Shar Mitzvos. You have it there? It's like, looks like you're looking it up. Or you saw it already. Go ahead.
In the context is
But he thinks that's true for mitzvahs too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it ends up being, now again, you could say, well, all this darko is going to be relevant to pshiusa? It's what I said a second ago. Yes. Because it still ends up figuring into or calculating into, you know, what's called derech hashkasa, what's called stira, what's called tchilas binyan, what's called, and so on. Right? So, but at the end of the day, if you take Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, from this Gemara, you know, the effect is to bridge the fundamental gap, I'm not talking about the practical gap, between Pidyon Shvuyim and Shar Mitzvos. Okay, and I'm going to try to show in a second that in my opinion for the Rambam, that is not true. But of course, again, when it comes to this Hava Mina and Maskana, right, there's also, you know, another question. You know, one question is, we're talking about regilus or we're talking about heter? I believe for the Rambam you're talking about heter. Except, we'll see in a moment. But there are two other questions to ask. Right? One is, you know, what state of binyan are we talking about? Tchilas binyan, because that's already after just having the materials arranged. Well, what would be the din of tchilas binyan? Probably Tchila and Emtza might be the same, I don't know. But you could be Michalik, maybe between Tchilas and Emtza, but unlikely. But probably the next category is Gemar Binyan, right? But Kodem, She is Spalobo. And then actually Spalobo, kind of like a, you know, Hazmana Milsa kind of an issue. So it was about Shein Beis HaKnesses or Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, or it's about the Hagdara of Stira and derech hashchasa, you know, etc. That doesn't necessarily depend on Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, or maybe it depends on something else. The, you know, the bias factor, we'll call it, of the Taz, which we'll get back to in just a second. So there's that question, meaning only Bigmar or only Kishit Chilol Ispala, but till then you really would even sell it for Pidgin Shuyim? Wow. Or you wouldn't even sell it, the other extreme, you know, Kishit Chilol Livnos. That's the one question. But the second question, of course, is you won't sell it means what? You won't sell it and you'll find like an alternative funding source? But if you can't find the alternative funding source, you are going to sell it? So it's just a question of priorities? Right? Or no, under no conditions are you allowed to sell a Beis HaKnesses for Pidyon Shvuyim. Right? That's also an important issue and a debate in the Mefarshe Harambam. So the effect of all this, of where you draw the line and all these questions, is of course the din itself, which is very important to know. But also, again, how urgent is Pidyon Shvuyim? You know, again, if you take an extreme, we're saying, you know, you really could, or you really should, you know, sell the Beis HaKnesses for Pidyon Shvuyim if you have no choice. You know, also, or even at a very late stage, even if you do have a choice. You know, that says a lot. Not so much about the kula of Beis HaKnesses, I don't think, but about the pressure and the chumrah of Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbah. Whereas others will say, no, not really, not so much. Certainly not vis-a-vis other mitzvahs so much. Oh. So this becomes a very important debate. So let's take a step back. We don't have so much time, but let's just do a very quick job. Let's analyze this question just a little bit more about the mitzvah rabbah of Pidyon Shvuyim. Certainly in our Gemara is one of the Gemaras that implies that Pidyon Shvuyim is distinctive, that it's a mitzvah rabbah. But again, you know, how much and, you know, how that, you know, plays out, as we're indicating, that's not so clear. So for this, we need to look, as we started the other day, also at the sugya andaf ches. Okay? So, Simcha Lev, you want to do the honors? Chesom and Aleph to Chesom and Beis. It starts a little on Chesom and Aleph. That's the introduction. What's the introduction there? The what? Yeah. So the Gemara there says that Ein poskim tzedakah al yesomim afilu pidyon shvuyim. Very interesting Gemara, right? You can't impose tzedakah on yesomim, even pidyon shvuyim. Of course, the even already implies that pidyon shvuyim is, well, it implies it's a tzedakah, number one. Not so simple either, as we'll see. And, right, is it tzedakah at all? Right? I mean, the Rambam deals with, we'll get to this in a moment, with Pidyon Shvuyim in Hilchos Matan Tzaniyim. Okay? And, okay. But Ein Poskim Tzedakah Yesomim Afilu Pidyon Shvuyim. So the Afilu here definitely distinguishes Pidyon Shvuyim, but of course, ironically, in a case where it's not distinctive enough. In the end of the day, right, still Ein Poskim Tzedakah Aniyim. So you wonder about that also. Like, you know, apparently it's more urgent, but why wouldn't you impose on Yesomim? Like, how critical, how difficult, you know, is that, you know, to do? That's part of the Chumrah of Ein Poskim, or, you know, even the Mitzvah Rabbah of Pidyon Shvuyim has its limits. Hard to know, but food for thought. Okay, go ahead. So the Gemara says, Ifra Hormiz. What? Right? Isn't that the next?
If
Artika de Dinri. No, they have a Lemitzvah Rabbah. Oh, she didn't say Tzedakah, mind you, which is also interesting. She said Lemitzvah Rabbah. Good. So now, you know, he has to, it's like, you know, the donor, you know, the generous donor, you know, gave you instructions. Now you have to translate it, though. There's always usually a lot of ambiguity in the instructions. What's the mitzvah rabbah? So Yasser Rav Yosef, v'kama ayimba, my mitzvah rabbah. He's trying to be, you know, you know, a you do his due diligence, I guess you would say, you know, to be a you know, fiduciary tzedakah recipient. I don't know, maybe. Amalei Abaya. He didn't say, oh, we'll just put it in the, you know, the slush fund, you know. She gave it, she earmarked it, right? But in a general way. Amalei Abaya. Yeah, so of course that's so fascinating, right? Because the raya is from a case where there's a limitation on the pidyon shvuyim, but it's a filu, so that implies it's a mitzvah rabba. Okay, good. Amale rabba le rabba bar mori. Which is, and this is it, right? This is where we're saying pidyon pidyon shvuyim is a mitzvah rabba. Yeah. Amavas amavas shalacherev lacherev, right?
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about that? I mean, first of all, you're hearing this, like, you know, gory, you know, the gory details, like, you know, practically have to, like, run out of the room, you know. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, you kind of get a little bit of a warning, you know, call him Ucher B'Pasuk, you know, Chevy is worse than anything? Worse than starving to death? Worse than, being gored by a sword? Yeah?
You're at the mercy of anything to happen.
Ah. So we need to understand this. But clearly it's a problem, right? So the Gemara's answer is Dekulam Isnayu Bey. Okay? So what does that mean? So Rashi says, you were paraphrasing Rashi, right? He could do whatever he wants to you. It's up to him. So you're subject to all these. So at the end of the day, like, is it worse than these? In one respect, and another, you know, in the sense that you can't control your own destiny, you know, it's pretty bad. Any of these could come your way, right? The potential of the three, you know, in terms of your psychological, your state, you're saying?
I'm saying potential of three versus the actual of one, or potential of three or potential of one?
That's a great point. Hard to know, right? Hard to know. But either way, Rashi is kind of telling you that Kulu Isnayu Bey, you know, means something more pragmatic, meaning you are, you know, in danger of all of these three. And like you're saying, like, you know, at least, you know, so, a little bit of, you know, starvation. You know, I'll get, hacked by a swordsman. You know, but you know, you're sitting there in Chevy, and, you know, you don't know what's going to happen to you. Any of these three could happen, or all three, you're saying, right? Yeah, I guess it's not so humorous. It's only humorous if it's abstract, but it is abstract at the moment. So this is, when you read this Gemara, you wonder. I mean, it's a head scratcher, right? We have to figure it out, you know. But this is like a normative Gemara in the sense that it's explaining how we know that Pidyon Shvuyim is a mitzvah rabba. First of all, the very fact that you need a makar is fascinating, right? It sounds like it's a formal din. What does Tosafot say, Alatar? Wow. We're going to get that back to that in a minute in terms of the poskim. What?
Argamar needs to prove it.
Yeah, it's also a good point. So the question was, Ein Mokun Sefer Torah Lilmod Torah V'Lisa Isha, it sounds like there are things that you will not do for Pidyon Shvuyim. Argamar also said Beis HaKnesses you won't. Or did it? That depends on the issues that we discussed before. Right. So actually the poskim, this Tosa is very, very important. Tosa is written, in Achanami. Right, it's you know, lo itzrich lemisni, right? So meaning you will sell a Sefer Torah for for Pidyon Shvui. That's the view of Tosfos. That's a huge debate among the Poskim in Yoredeya, and we'll get to it very soon. The Drisha, the Shach, the Taz, right, they're very, very troubled. And by the way, what's their trouble? What bothers them? We'll see it inside in a minute. If anybody has to leave earlier because of the class or whatever, and we're not going to go so long, but I just want to at least get this part in. But totally, I'm sorry we just didn't get started earlier, but I just want to at least finish some of these points quickly. So the question is, Ein Mokrin Sefer Torah Limud Torah Belisa Isha, and now you're saying also for Pidyon Shvuyim. But Ein Mokrin Sefer Torah Lebinyan Beis HaKnesses. So if Ein, Mokrin Beis HaKnesses Lepidyon Shvuyim, right, there's a problem. Right? Everybody got that? In other words, if Mechirat Sefer Torah hierarchically is higher than Beis HaKnesses, and Pidyon Shvuyim, right, justifies that, meaning Mechirat Sefer Torah, then shouldn't it Kol Shekein justify Mechirat Beis HaKnesses? That is the question that troubled the Poskim in Yoredeya. Okay? And we'll see what they say in just a minute. But it pushed them a little bit on this whole question. But either way, Tosis, it's very interesting because, again, this is the Gemara, Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbah, but, it's introduced by its limitation, right? Ein poskin stakal yisoma mafilu Pidyon Shvuyim. And yet, because of the limud, because of the language, Tosis came to the conclusion that it belongs in the rarefied company of Lilmot Torah Velisa Isha and justifies Mechirat Sefer Torah. Okay, so Tosfos took it very, very seriously. Okay, we'll get to the Beis HaKnesses problem in a minute. Okay, as for Rashi, he definitely is trying to explain what Shevi Kulu Esnai Bey means when on the surface, you have this person who dies of starvation and the other person out of his sword wounds. And then you have this, guy sitting in captivity, probably not having a good time, hopefully. Well, maybe hopefully he is, I don't know. But either way, we don't know what's happening to him, and that's like the worst thing ever. Right? Okay. So, So let's look at the Rambam. Simchalev, you got it? Simchalev's like the only person who could, help us with this topic. Because he, such a joyous person that he could, get us through this, Pidyon Shvuyim depression. Okay. So firstly, it's just interesting to note that the Rambam, what I'm going to try to show in just a minute, but I'm going to try to do it quickly because we're already, running a little late, is that the Rambam really, linguistically and substantively, I think expands this concept. Right? I mean, he took it really, really seriously, as a statement of axiology, qualitatively. Like, Pidyon Shvuyim is a different category. Okay, go ahead. Simple Ed, go ahead. What's that?
Start Yud.
What is it? I would start Yud. One second, let me get this open. It was curious to me why this Rambam split up Zeraim. I don't understand that. But okay. It's my original Rambam. Where is it? Perek Ches Halacha Yud? Yeah. Go ahead. No. Wait a second. Wait. So, first of all, already, Pidyon Shvuyim Kodim L'Parnasas Aniyim L'Ksusa. Is there a Gemara that says that explicitly? What? Yeah, so exactly. But by saying it that way, as like it sounds like, oh, there's a Gemara that says that, right? And if you look at the Mefarshim, like the Radvaz says, what's a Makar? That it's Mitzvah Rabbah. and that it might have even been from Yisomim. The Kesamisha says, right? Ein lecha mitzvah rabba kipidyon shvuyim sham chesam etar gemara. What does Radvaz say? Yeah, pachi isa hasam the kari le mitzvah rabba mishum de kohanuk de ksivi ben. That's the makar. That's a pasha. How that not difficult, but it's interesting how it translates into a norm right away. Okay, an actual kedima. Okay, go ahead. I mean, as they say, if it's all tzedakah, so maybe, you know, maybe that's your choice, right? Go ahead. Whoa, mitzvah, calling it mitzvah rabba is one thing. Ein lecha mitzvah gedola. Say again. It says, oh, mitzvah rabba instead of mitzvah gedola. No, yeah, but if he repeats it, that's also interesting. Ein lecha mitzvah gedola pidyon shvuyim. Wow. Okay. It's one thing to say it's mitzvah rabba, to say it's number one, right? Even if it's ein lecha mitzvah rabba, go yoser. Saying mitzvah rabba doesn't mean it's the number one mitzvah rabba, right? Go ahead. Now, is that the same as the Gemara? Gemara says, kulu isnayu be. And why Rashi is saying because you're at risk for all three others, correct? Yeah. Now the Rambam is saying Harehu Bechlal, and now we're going to see that he really means it. Meaning it is not that it is the equivalent to or it's worse than. He's saying when you are a captive, right? You are in a state of, you know, hunger. You're being bludgeoned, you know, and you are and so on and so forth. Are you? Okay. You're bichlal hara'evim atzmeim baharumim. The ome besanakanas afashos. Is that true? Doesn't it depend on whether you are or whether you're not? Apparently not. Not for this halacha. Go ahead. Vamalim einav. Whoa. Where does it say that? Meaning, that's what he means by saying bichlal. That's different than saying what Rashi says about Kulu Misnayube, I think. Right? I mean, you're actually in violation of all these, if you leave the guy, and by the way, let me say something else. I'm not sure about this, but this is what I think. Right? Wow. Keep going. Ubitel Pasach Tiftach Asiyad Chalo. Yeah, the sun, not like, you know, it's not. It's as if like there weren't enough. So you should know how I'm not even going to tell you the other things. You know, what is he leaving out? And then he repeats it just again for good measure. Ein lecha mitzvah rabba kepidyon shvuyim. For sure, that's the way he's described it. That certainly sounds true. So what I wanted to add is, look for a minute, and again, this is what I may speak about. Look at Perek Zayin, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. That's when the Rambam begins to speak about tzedakah. Look at halacha aleph and base. These are some of the psukim that he's talking about that you. What? So this is the mitzvah. Yeah. Keep going. What's halacha base? Okay, so what's interesting about this to me, and again, I could be wrong. It's hard to know, you know. The Rambam doesn't speak about kol haro'a ani mevakesh v'helem mimenu as being mevatel the mitzvah saseh, right? He says you're over on the lav. Avlo sa mitzvav kavlo tikvas yotzcha mekichoem. You know, he also says that there is a mitzvah saseh litein tzedakah l'aniyim, right? And then he qualifies it by saying "Kifi masharoi lani im haisa yadon yadano se maseges." So it sounds like, and then this might be something I talk about on Shabbos, that it sounds like the mitzvah saseh is a like many other mitzvahs. It's an opportunity. It's a chiyuv and a kiyuv under the right conditions. And if you encounter and you ignore the plight of an ani, then there's something called a los ase, los amets and los tikbots, two of them, which you violate. But what he says here in Perek Ches is that for pigeon shvuyim, what does he say? Hamalim eno bepidjono. Okay, so he's over los amets and los tikbots. Given what he's saying, that isn't surprising. But again, it's just hard to know whether the diuk is correct, but what I'm saying is bitel is different than lokiye, I think. So is this the only time that you're actually mevatel the mitzvah? In the case of ignoring it in pidyon shvuyim? What's the difference between, you know, abstaining from doing a mitzvah, not getting the kiyum, ignoring the opportunity, you know, and being mevatel the mitzvah? Right? Obviously one is more severe. So given what we've been saying, you know, about other things, you know, this year and other years, you know, so it's not going to surprise you that I'm going to say this, and that is that sometimes, as we've seen, you know, what is an abstention, a sheval taseh, you know, can turn into almost like a kumba asay, an act of bittul, when the expectation or the urgency, right, or the stakes are greater, right? And I think that's what the Rambam is saying here, if the diuk is correct. Okay, then comes halacha yud aleph, which is really interesting. Go ahead. Now here is where he expands to mitzvos, right? Now again, what's this doing here in the middle of Hilchos Tzedakah? Right? And you could have thought, oh, this is an attenuation of pidyon shvuyim because he's applying this even to mitzvos. But I think it's perfectly evident based on what we just read and what we're going to read in a second that the Rambam is just telling you the truth and he's giving you the background and he's saying even though when it comes to mitzvos also the ability to redirect the funds is applicable, right? The distinctiveness of pidyon shvuyim doesn't express itself in that, but that's not because it isn't qualitatively different, and it does express itself in the next case, namely, kanu avanim mikoros. That's our sugya, mean our sugya on dalad on the base or gimel, whatever it is. Yeah, kanu avanim mikoros gimel base layim karum. Oh, meaning, and this is in the middle of Hilchos pidyon shvuyim. Now again, he could have written this halacha in Hilchos Tefillah. Some of it is in Hilchos Tefillah, right? In Shulchan Aruch, it's in both places, but it's right here in pidyon shvuyim because it's to accentuate the mitzvah rabbah. You know, ein lecha mitzvah rabbah gedola mizu of pidyon shvuyim. Yeah, go ahead. Afish
the
viu
and
the
gidrim
as a bilvad. Right? As if don't confuse me saying the Rambam with Rabbeinu Yonah. Not really historically, it's anachronistically, but you know, you right? Meaning this is unique to pidyon shvuyim. Even though, don't be misled by my expansive view of the funds in the mitzvos. Here, right, is an expression of unique pidyon shvuyim. Aval. So number one, he says in banu v'gamru. Doesn't say in banu, right? Okay. Liyim kuros beis haknesses. So you would think, oh, because that's a limit. But then he adds, ella. Who? He doesn't say, nu. What can you do? Alas, right? If you know, if it's already built, and these are the only funds. You know, too bad for the pidyon shvuyim. The Rambam doesn't say that. He adds, Ela yigvu le pidyonu minatzibor. Meaning you'll have to find another source of the money.
Yeah, that would definitely. I mean, you're saying even if there was no money in the
tzibor,
you would take the
shul? It's not clear, but sounds like it. Sounds like it might be true. And this is what the Shach and the Taz, you know, discuss in Yerodea, in the Rambam. So it could be that not only is the Rambam, you know, very, very, very linguistically in formulation, you know, all these isurim. It's the only case of bittul aseh of tzedakah, if my diuk is correct. He repeats twice the mitzvah rabbah, the bilvad, etc. But it sounds like he even doesn't believe in the limit. The limit is in the convenience. Like, you know, can you just sell the Beis HaKnesses, or do we have to do another fundraising, you know, campaign? Right? But if you can't do it with another fundraising campaign, what happens then? Not clear. Possibly, right? And certainly it sounds like in the Rambam that Hitchila Livnos or Be'emtza Binyan, you know, isn't a limit. It's Gomru. Right? The Gemara don't know that. This is Banu. Doesn't say Gomru Livnos. Right? Oh, it's also not saying only once you start davening there, like Tosa says. But, okay. So then, of course, you have the next halacha, which is Podin Yoser Mikdei Demeyim. Very interesting discussions. If you look at halacha Yud Gimel, Misha Machar Atzma, these are Gemaras in Hashaleach. Misha Machar Atzma, Banav La'akum, O Shalava Mehen, right, Vashavosan, right, Yasru Havasan. The guy, you know, they're constantly like selling themselves, into captivity, relying on the tzibor to bail them out. Parmishona, Shniyam, Mitzvah, those are the Gemara and Gittin. Shlishis ein podinoso, of a podim is abanim lachar misa sabiyim. Okay. The im bikshu lahargo podinoso miyadam afilachar kamapamim. Oh, okay. So, first, there's a fascinating discussion in the Radvaz here. What happens about somebody who keeps stealing from non Jews and keeps getting thrown in jail? Do we have to keep bailing him out? What's the relationship between achilas and abelos latayavon? And stealing, and does the fact that some people think erroneously that, you know, it's somehow permissible or less usur to steal from non-Jews, which is not correct, does that matter in terms of the, you know, the pigeon question? That's a fascinating discussion in the Radvaz. Agav, the Radvaz points out that there seem to be Rishonim, and some of the Beis Yosef think this is true of the Rambam, who think that a mumar lechol nevelos leteyavon, right, you don't have to be podeh. Okay? And of course, there's some of them far from scandalized by that, even he's only a mumar leteyavon. Mela mumar lachis, you know, he may lose his rights, he's a non-Jew practically, or some things, we discuss this in Narkulan days, right? But leteyavon, you're not going to make him, you know, you're not going to honor him at the shul or the yeshiva dinner, hopefully. I sometimes do. But but still he's, you know, he should be poda to him, shouldn't you? But look at something else here. Right? What does the Rambam say about the first case? In bikshu lahargo poda moso miyadam afilu akhari kama pamim. Didn't he just say that kulu esnayube means that it's alpidina sakana? So vadai sakana, suffix sakana. That's the difference. Like, what's going on here? Then, of course, you have the halacha, isha kodemis leish, lahacha leksus, lahotzi, mibes hashevi, sheish darko lechazer, v'lo isha. So, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, they say, this halacha is brought down, in reish nun beis sif tes. And then the Shach says, like, what's the case here? The mother or the woman gets a pidyon first, even if you, let's say it's between you and your mother, right? Or you and the woman. So why don't you say the din of, you know, chayecha kodmin lechayei chavercha? That's what the Shach says. The Shach says, unless we're talking about a case where there really isn't a sakana. Okay, so the Birkei Yosef Alatar says, what do you mean a case where there's no sakana? Every case of pidyon shvuyim is sakana, that's the din, kulu isnayube. Right? That's similar to what I'm asking in the Rambam. I mean, we're talking about we're codifying a halacha of pidyon shvuyim, that is the exception, rather than the norm, not the typical pidyon shvuyim. That's not what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like Shach is saying that either. It's not like Shach is saying. Typically, there's no sakana. Right? So what is this? So what's going on here? What exactly is all this? Ah. So, my suggestion is, to all of this, and more, basically, that, I guess it's a good way to end off, I have to stop, but, again, you know, what we've been saying all year, you know, about, we start off with Hezekiah and Harkakas Nezakin, right, is the Yesod that, you know, sometimes there are certain categories in halakha that are like very objective, like the circumstances are in and of themselves like identify or establish, you know, a certain status. The Baba Kamas, you know, of Mazik, the Rambam and Sefer Nezik, it was Nizke Mamon. Right, even then, there's a range of things, obviously. The difference between Nizke Mamon and Adam HaMazik and Adam HaChovel, and obviously. But in the bigger picture, right, we're talking about objective Hezek. And all year, what we've been discussing is that the beginning of Bava Basra, which seems to overlap a lot with Bava Kama, but the very notion of Harchakas Nezakim, like, is a very tricky kind of a thing. Ala Mazik Laharchik, Ala Nizak Laharchik, and if the Gira delay isn't turning it into Bava Kama exactly, so, like, what is it? Right? And then we have the Xosis and the Nesivises and the implicit discussions and the Rishonim. Good. And then we talked about, you know, the Beis Shar Hezekiah case where the victims have to pay, and yet it's connected to Hezekiah Shema Hezek, right? And again and again and again. Ah. And Kutra Beis Akise, right? Hezekiah, you know, barely limps across the finish line to qualify as Hezek, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like Kutra Beis Akise. So all year we've been trying to develop the idea that sometimes, I use the paradigm of Poshe Kemazik and the Rambam and the Chaschiras, that sometimes the expectations or the obligations, the framework in the background, right, can redirect or can redefine definitions. And something that wouldn't qualify, let's say, as Mazik, in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, you know, but given the obligation and the expectation of Shechinim, given the obligations and the expectation of Shomrim, right, that pumps up, that you know, kind of redefines, you know, what constitutes, you know, Hezek. And then, of course, there remains an interesting open question, and that is, okay, so given this background, this now becomes regular Hezek, and you plug it in, or not? And the answer to that question isn't simple, and probably the answer isn't, for some mefarshim at least, is not yes or no. It depends with regard to this din, with regard to that. What about Psuledus, or what about, Iser, and so on and so forth. Correct? And what about, you know, Krak Susi, and so on and so forth. Oh. So I think that Pidgin Shvuyim, in a Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Tzedakah context, is something very parallel. I think what the Rambam understood, and Simcha Leib said it very well when he was saying Rashi, right? And that is, Rashi emphasized that anything could happen, right? But I think that Rambam understood it even more than that, and that's why he's quoting Isurim, and I think what the Rambam understood was that there's an aspect of tzedakah and even of losamar, dam reyacha, right, which is legal, formal, where the loss of control, the idea that a person and his fate, his destiny, is in the hands of somebody else's whim, right, that too constitutes on a certain level, right, being a tzamei, being, if my next drink or my next, you know, food, or, you know, my confidence, you know, that I'll be here in the morning, you know, L'samar Adam Re'acha, depends on the whim, you know, or the goodwill of my captor, then from a quality of life point of view, right, of course, no one has control over their destiny, the Rabbon Shalom, but that, you know, we're all willing to see the Rabbon Shalom gave us life, and, you know, relative to his hashgacha and his will, you know, we don't have control. Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz mi'ira shamayim. We can control how we respond. We can control who we are. You know, a lot of times we can't control, you know, the forces around us. You know, we're living in the middle of a pandemic, you know. Insane governments, you know, all over the world that can do things in a moment that can change, you know, the trajectory of mankind. And, you know, there's a sense of loss of control. Okay, but, you know, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, that, you know, that's good, mostly. That's called bitachon. You know, bitachon's a good thing. Hashgacha. You know, but when it's your captor or irresponsible people, so in that sense, your control, your sense of well-being is totally contingent. And I think that's what the Rama means. That's how we understood mitzvah rabba. Kulo isnayu be. Meaning, you're ra'ev, you're tzamei, you're arum, you might be sitting, you know, getting the best meals of your life, you know, being clothed, you know, like a prince. It might be amazing, right? But basically, you know, you're in the hands of some evil, insane person with his own agenda, and none of that, you know, the expectation is that none of that may continue. And therefore, it's alpidin sakana ra'ev. That's what the Rama means when he says harehu bechlal. And not only that, but in this case, ignoring that, once we're aware of what the implication of it is, it's a bittel of the essay. And that's why we raise the money and we push, you know, very hard. At the same time, is he mesukan in the real sense, in a hilchos, you know, yesodia Torah? You know, sense. You know, is it the rotzeach or the retzach of? Well, it's already different. It could be more chamor. It's also going to be more kal. So the Rambam says, listen, if there's no actual sakana, then if he keeps selling himself into pidyon, and he keeps putting himself, meaning he doesn't care about his own quality of life. So he's selling himself and his son, you know, constantly into this, you know, unacceptable state. Obviously, you know, he's willing to gamble with that. You know, he doesn't get this extra level, this extra dimension, you know, of lo sabbat al damriyacha, of sakana, that has to do with quality of life. Not that there's a gun aimed at you or a knife at your throat, you know, but there could be any minute. So, but he put himself in that situation. Maybe even a meshumad l'teyavon, meaning if his view of his own life, right, is so hedonistic, you know, as opposed to, you know, seeing a purpose in it and you know, a goal in it, you know, and being about, you know, attaining some sort of connection with that purpose, that transcendence, you know, he's ochel nevelos l'teyavon. He's not lahachis. Maybe there's no mitzvah to be podem, because that person doesn't hold, you know, sufficiently dear, let's say, you know, his own sense of freedom and destiny. Right? So I think that's what's going on with the Shach and the Birkei Yosef as well. So the Shach says, listen, you know, but the pigeon shvuyim on the woman, you know, in terms of what she is going through emotionally and the potential, you know, for disaster and you know, and for not controlling her destiny and the implications of that is worse. Right? Says the Shach. Of course, if there's actual sakana, not the din of sakana based on pigeon shvuyim, which is an expansion of Hilchos Matnas Aviyim, this is all, Lo Sabbat Damriyacha of Hilchos Matnas Aviyim, right? In the same way that Hezekiah, you know, is Mazik of Hilchos Shechinim, in the same way that Poshea Pimazik, you know, is Mazik of Hilchos Chiras, But if you actually have real sakana, then you're going to say the normal din of shalcha kodem l'chayi chavercha. So that, I think, is what's happening in the... and that's why when it comes to the question, is it tzedakah? Again, if I get a chance, I'll make a few more haros in terms of the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz and so on and so forth. But there's like very interesting questions. Like, person's no derla tzedakah. That's the Ramban, Siman Reish Beis Sifaleth, really based on the Marik. But a really fascinating discussion also in the Taz, in everybody, but also the Taz later on, Reish Nun Vav Dalet. He says, look what I wrote there. You have to look. So a very interesting like exchange. Is it a person's no dela tzedakah? So, you know, does that include pidyon shvuyim or not? Because it is and it isn't. It's the highest form of tzedakah. But on the other hand, it crosses into the territory, you know, of being bichlal kulu esnayuve, and is different, right? And you know, it raises a lot of interesting questions. Part of the discussion in the Taz is, how much of a chashash rachok? He says, well, in the sugya pshiusa and Baba Basra, it sounds like you're worried about pidyon shvuyim, right? That's going to happen. So if a person is no dila tzedakah, one of the arguments of the Marik was, and we said was, well, you know, the nedarim hochen achal l'shom b'nei adam, like how often does pidyon shvuyim, you know, reality, was he really thinking of pidyon shvuyim? So the Taz says, yeah, but don't you have to weigh that against our Gemara in Bava Basra, which says, you know, that, you know, when it comes to Pshiusa, Dilma Misrami, pidyon shvuyim, how come sometimes we're worried about the outside contingency of pidyon shvuyim and sometimes we're not? So the Taz, in that piece, Reishon Vav Dalet, says, oh, no, there's a difference. He said, there I agree with the Marek. There's a difference between the umdana of Lashon B'nei Adam, what does he mean when he says it? What's he thinking about? You know, and you know, the question of the Chachamim, you know, trying to be matir, you know, stiras beis hakneses, you know, on the basis of, you know, gvias mamon, or at least having the materials, and saying, you know, oh, there could still be pidyon shvuyim. There even a chashash rachok. I would have said it a little differently than the Taz. Frankly, based on things that we've said, I would have said, I did say this, you know, 2 days ago, and that is that, no, the Dilma Misrami isn't just like, oh, we're more choshesh ledava rachok per se. It's because we're trying to figure out, you know, is this stira or is it binyan? Is it kilkul or is it tikkun? Is it derech hashchasa? Or, you know, the first step to, you know, a more glorious... Mikdash Ma'at. You know, as far as that is concerned, you know, the potential disruption, Al Pidin, you know, even if it isn't, as long as it's not completely in the Dover self, right, is, you know, it's not just the Chiluk to Nadarim, which is Lashon B'nei Adam, and which depends on a regular Umdana. Right? It's also, this is a particularly acute example where, you know, a chashash rachok, as long as it's still on the radar screen, you know, is sufficient to establish the interrelationships. You know what I'm saying? So, how does that work for pidyon shvuyim and so on? Okay, so if that's the case, then we can also, again, appreciate some of the issues, even within the Rambam himself, who I think holds this way. Like, what will you say? Like, why is it, you know, that you don't sell a Beis HaKnesses for them? Wouldn't you sell a Beis HaKnesses if somebody was, you know, in a sakana? Real sakana? That's a question. And even after it was Nigmar? Or does the Rambam really think that you would sell the Beis HaKnesses if you couldn't raise the money any other way anyway? Right. On the one hand, he's way more machmir than anybody else in his description of Mitzvah Rabbah. And on the other hand, you know, it's a din in sakana, and din in ra'ev, and a din in tzameh, and a din in arom. It's not actual. So where do you draw the line when it comes to these issues? So that's one of the things that, you know, we have to look a little bit. And I do still want, I'll try to find a little time at least, to speak about this question and the relationship to the Tosas, meaning the discussion of the Shach and Taz and Drisha, right in the beginning of Siman Reishon and Beis, you know, how could it be that your Mocher Sefer Torah lepidgin Shvuyim, if indeed you're not Mocher Beis HaKnesses lepidgin Shvuyim, when Sefer Torah's Kedusha is greater than that of Beis HaKnesses? Okay, so I still want to speak. We'll try to find a place where I can speak a little bit, just to fill in a couple of blanks. But that's like the basic or the bigger idea. And yeah, hatzlacha on the bechina, and we'll be in touch to figure out a good time.